We have found with the various utilities we've worked with that they are looking for properties that are in the range of 300 to 500 acres. They need to be located near transmission lines that have capacity, preferably if there's a substation nearby. They need to have an unobstructed view of the sun, which in Florida is not that difficult to achieve. You just basically have to worry about trees. And then they are looking for properties that have little, if any, wetlands and little, if any, endangered species. We found a lot of our clients with abandoned citrus groves make the perfect property, also cattle ranch property. But both those cases, you generally have land that's been impacted that has little, if any, wetlands to be affected, and generally not a problem for endangered species. And so that seems to work out very well with most of them. And, of course, it needs to be something that's accessible on public highway or public roadway. And then the other big issue is making sure it's not too close to other neighbors, because even though it's a green technology, you still have the not-in-my-backyard syndrome that comes from having neighbors that don't want a solar array near them.
And are there currently growers in Florida who are producing solar power? Any citrus growers or former citrus growers?
What we have found for most of our clients is this has become a good marketplace for disposing of citrus groves, either through sale or long-term lease. And then you'll have the power company itself will either develop it as a solar field, or there'll be an investor group that'll come in and develop the solar field, and they'll sell power onto the grid through a purchase power agreement. But most of our clients have found it gives them a way to dispose of property that's not currently in production that yields them a higher return than if they tried to do some other form of agriculture upon it.
One of the topics you talked about was selling versus leasing the land to a power company. Can you give a little bit of advice on that subject?
Certainly. Oftentimes that is driven by the power company, because there are certain power companies that prefer to own and build their own, whereas others are more interested in just purchasing the power and not owning the infrastructure. And in those situations, a long-term lease generally works out very well. We're talking 20 to 30 years of a revenue stream, so it can be very attractive to clients. And then if there is a sale, oftentimes we look at doing like-kind exchanges so the client is able to reinvest in other income-producing property elsewhere that complements their agricultural activities.
Can you comment at all on tax incentives that would be available for this?
If the developer actually builds out the solar array, there are a number of tax incentives. There's investment tax credit, there's accelerated depreciation. There is also a window of opportunity to take advantage of these, because under the current tax law, a number of these provisions will sunset over the next 4 years. We've just had the new Trump proposal come out, and thankfully it didn't accelerate any of those sunset provisions, but regrettably it didn't extend them either. So we have probably a 3 to 4 year window here where there's going to be a lot of solar activity, and hopefully there'll be some other changes down the road, but there are a lot of tax incentives for those that want to develop that type of infrastructure.
Any other advantages for landowners for getting involved in this besides the tax incentives?
Well, one of the advantages is our clients have found it's a great way to diversify their revenue stream. Those that have entered into leases find that it's a great way of taking the peaks and valleys out of your agricultural production by having a revenue stream that you know is going to happen each month or each quarter as the payments are coming through. Those that don't lease, that sell their property, they've been able to reinvest into assets that are income producing as well, and has the same effect. For example, we have some clients that have been buying Wawa's, you know, the different fuel stations and grocery stores that have been developed recently are often in a lease arrangement, and it gives someone a revenue stream that helps takes the peaks and valleys out of an agricultural production.
Okay. Are there any other comments you want to make for those who are considering solar energy production?
There's going to be a lot of change in the future on how solar energy is treated. Currently, if you produce your own for self-consumption, you're able to offset your electrical bill at the retail rate. But if you produce more and put it back on the grid, it's at a lower tariff value unless you have a purchase power agreement. We think that there's going to be more activity as the solar production goes from these large facilities that we're talking about, 300 to 500 acres, and you start seeing smaller facilities where people put something on a smaller piece of property and want to sell the power back into the grid. And that'll be an exciting opportunity when it happens, but right now it's not as economically viable as the larger transactions are.
For Southeast AgNet, this is Tacy Callies.